Today's Shiri Mishnah Brura Yomi is Daf Nun Zayin Omud Aleph, and we're in the middle of Simen Lamed Gimel, and we're in the middle of the Mechaber of Siv Beis, in the middle of the first line. And the Mechaber is talking here about what type of tears in the tefillin, and does it make a difference if it's an older pair of tefillin or a newer pair of tefillin. So he's defining us, we discussed these halachas yesterday, I won't repeat them, but he's now defining the Elohim Chadoshim. What is the definition of new tefillin? And he adds, Kol she'ochazin mikza se'or shenikra tifro. If you're holding on to the hide where the stitch was ripped, the tolin bo ha'tfilin, and you hold up the tefillin, v'hu chazak eino nifsak, and it doesn't rip any further, that's called chadoshim. V'im eino roi lislos bo elohu nifsak, hare elu yishanos. And if when you do pick it up, it rips more, so then that's called an older pair of tefillin. Hagoa, the Ramah adds, V'yesh omim debachadoshim psulim ubi yishanim ksherim. Exactly like the Ramah had said in yesterday's shir, he flips it around, the difference between the chadoshim and the yishanim. The reasoning of the Rambam was it's worn out, it's old, that's why it's no good, and the new ones are stronger. But here, the Ramah says that the new ones, obviously if they ripped and they're new, there's something wrong intrinsically with them, and it's the old one, it's just from wear and tear, that's not something intrinsically wrong, so he had the opposite. And not surprisingly, he says, again, like he said yesterday, V'tov lachosh l'shnei hasvaros, we go l'chumra in both situations, k'nir ali, that's the Ramah's opinion over here as well. The Mishnah Berurah in explanation over here in Siv Katan Tezvav writes, Lachush, you could be concerned with both opinions, wrote Salarmid, this means to say, Lahachmir machmazel lechatrila b'shteyam, that we're careful about this, whether it's a new pair or an old pair, if they're ripped in this way, that we don't allow them to be good. However, Ach b'mokum she'ev shalim tzot tefillin acherim. But if you absolutely have no other pair of tefillin, v'lo lachzor v'lit for tefillin elu, and you can't, for whatever the reason, stitch back up these tefillin over here. So even though we just said you should go l'chumra, yesh lismoch ala mekilim b'psikas ha'tfiros, you can rely now upon the opinions that say that in these situations it still is a kosher pair of tefillin when some of the stitching is ripped. Bein b'chadoshos, bein b'yishanos, you can go here l'kula on both ways, because there are opinions that hold over here, u'bein b'shtei tefiros, u'bein b'shalom. And like we explained yesterday, the Rambam, it was machmir even on two, or certainly if it was three, not adjacent ones, that the Rambam was machmir, but we had other opinions that were makel. So in all of these situations, you can be makel over here, ach b'sholosh yizor shelo yivorach lehem. But if three of them are ripped, if three stitches are ripped, then don't make the brach on it. And it tells us to look in the Bir Halacha for further discussion of this. And the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha writes, yesh lismoch, that's based upon the El Yerab and the name of the Beis Yosef, that, and he brings this down, la halacha. And he says, Yesh lismoch b'mokum atchak. You can only rely upon this under extenuating circumstances. And he says, why not? Lom lo yikayim mitzvah tefillin machma sofik l'dei amachsheres. There is an opinion that says these are good. So we shouldn't put them on. And we shouldn't take advantage of that opinion that says that they're good. You're right. L'chatchila, one should not rely upon these kulas. But b'di'evit, if you have no other pair of tefillin to wear, then you can rely upon them, even so much as so to make a bracha, unless it ripped in three places where we don't make a bracha. If, however, there are only two of the stitches that are not good, so then the halacha brewer brings down, here you even can make a bracha on it. Again, it's not a lechatrila, but b'dieved, you can even make a bracha. And this is true even if the tears are adjacent to each other, as long as it's only two tears. Now we go to Siv Gimel. Here, the Mechaber tells us a very important din, or haritzuos, the hide that the ritzuos are made out of, tzorich shiyah me'or behem machaya v'ov hatahorim. It has to be made just like the tefillin have to be made out of the kosher species of an animal, either a behemah, the domesticated three animals, goats, cows, or sheep, which is preferable, or you can use from machaya, the seven kosher species of chayos, of non-domesticated animals, or v'ov, or a kosher bird, as long as it's a kosher species, even if that individual animal was a treif or nevela, as we pointed out previously, that's kosher, and this is what the ritzuah should be made out of. Mishnah Berurah in Siv Katan Tezayin adds, "Delo hukshua l'melecha shemayim ela tahor b'vad." The only ones that you can use over here for melecha shemayim are those that are from a kosher species. In Dirshu footnote 8, he explains, the reason for this is based upon the Noda Behuda writing, "Sheyesh lahachmir shegam hatseva shebo mashchirim es haritzuos." Yeah, min amutar beficha. Even the coloring, the black dye that you're using to blacken the tefillin, which as we also said is a halach l'moshe misinai for the ritzuos, so even that has to be from a kosher species. And so is the opinion of the keses ha-sofer. However, the additives that you add to this, that everybody agrees that that has to be bidyevet, that could be from a non-kosher species as well, but roi l'chatchila la'asoso min amutar beficha as well. And likewise, he says, if you wanted to use non animal material, for example, klipei shviyas, if you want to use some organic material from growths or produce, so Shlomo Zalman writes that this would be acceptable. And he brings down that this is based upon a Rosh Cerulio in Maseches Shviyas. Then the Mechaber continues and says, Vitzorich. This word Vitzorich over here is an interesting word. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Yud Zayin writes, Kol Hay Tzorich. Whenever you have this word like this, Tzorich, you must, you should. He brings down in the Shaar HaTzion, this is based upon the Rambam and the Beis Yosef and the Rosh, when he uses the term Tzorich li'ikuvahu, it means it must be done this way. Afilu b'dieved, it's no good if you don't do this. So the Chabad says, Vitzorich sheyeh me'ubad l'shmo. You must. It's ma'akev, as we just explained, that you pair this hide that you're making into the Ritzuos, or as we'll see, the parchment that you're making into Ritzuos, it must be done l'shmo, l'shem kedushas tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Yud Ches writes, Afilu ha-Rambam, the Meikel be-Batim, the Rambam who says that the Batim, as we pointed out previously, didn't require processing, it didn't require tanning. It's actually sturdier, he felt, if he didn't tan it. So that's why he wanted them to be as strong as possible. As we learned previously in Simon Lamed Beis, Sif Lamed Zayin, even though the Rambam over there said that that didn't require processing, tanning, lishma, because it didn't even require it at all, mo dehocha, even the Rambam says over here by the Ritzuos that it must be tanned, it must be processed, l'shem kedushas tefillin, the kedusha of the Ritzuos. Why? The Tamla Zed, Mishnah Berurah says, tells you, go look in the Levush and the Magen Avraham. And in Dirshu footnote 10, he brings down the Levush and the Magen Avraham. The Levush explains as follows. Shemi'achar sha'or ha-ritzuach tzorech ibut. Since you must tan them, you must process the ritzuos, the hide for the ritzuos. Mishum sh'tzorech shi'a ritzuos rakos l'kshiru l'chricha. Because if you don't process it, it's not going to be soft. It'll be very hard and it won't be easily able to be knotted and wound around your arm. Therefore, this ibut, nechshav ibudo tzorech ha-tfilin. This tanning process is an essential part of the tefillin, and therefore the ibud lishma is a requirement like the tefillin themselves. As opposed to the Or of the Batim, where the Rambam says, dafka, you want them very, very hard, and therefore you don't want to process them, ain't tzorech le'avdo lishma, therefore there's no need to do it lishma. That's the difference between the Ritzuos and the Batim, even according to the Rambam. That's the Levush. Dirshu footnote 10 then brings down the Magen Avraham, who gives the following reason. Just like you have to blacken the Ritzuos, that's halach l'moshe b'sinai, that they be black, so you have to blacken them lishma, so too, kach yesh lasos es avodah sa'ivu lishma, so too, the tanning process of the Ritzuos also has to be done lishma. And that indeed is what the Mishnah Berurah tells us over here in the next words of the Mishnah Berurah. It's still in Sivkot and Yud Ches in the middle. Hashachru, the blackening of the Ritzuos, tzorch gam kein shiyeh lishma. If you blow ibdan lishma, if you did indeed not tan it, process it lishma, eino moil, it won't help, afilu miyashkir and achakach lishma. You can't correct it by blackening it lishma and make up for the deficiency in not doing the tanning, the processing lishma. This is based upon the Tshuvas Dvar Shmuel and the Tshuvas Ber Esek, disagrees because of the Hashachru Lishma Mahani. He argues with the Dvar Shmuel and says that you could in fact make up for this deficiency by blackening Lishma. Then the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Tshuvas Rekiva Eger, who agrees with the din of the Dvar Shmuel and says that he's unhappy, hirish, he's making loud noises. He's complaining about Hamakilim Bazad, that those that agree with this lenient opinion that the blackening it afterwards can make up for the lack of the processing of Lishma. In Dirshu footnote 11, he brings down that this is also the opinion of the Chafetz Chaim himself. In the Bir Halacha, in Siman Lamed Beis, Ein Moil Ashirin Lishma Achara Ibud Kishlo Nasa Ibud Lishma. It doesn't help to blacken it Lishma if you didn't do the processing Lishma. Shari Tshuva as well brings down a number of other great Gedolim who don't agree with this lenient opinion of the Be'er Esek, including the Baal Gidule Truma, the Mari Halevi, the Chol Gidule Vainzia V'Italia. And they all agree that Chalila Lasos Kain, Varatuas Psulim in this situation, Vlo Yotsu Yidei Chovas Bashchor Lishma, it doesn't help to blacken it. The Shari Tshuva does point out that you can use various types of fish oils to help with the softening of the Ritzua and to make it glisten more when you put the black ink on it, and that is acceptable. In Dirshu footnote 9, he brings down the Chazon Ish, who says in regards to the Ibud on the Ritzuos, he says, Apo Pishal Adas Kama Min HaRishonim Dai B'Maliach, it's enough to salt it, that's enough for the processing for it. V'lo Tzarech Ibud, you don't have to put in some type of a gallnut juice over here. Mikol Makom L'Chumra Noktim Shetzarech Af Ibud. But you should put in the gallnut juices over here, that's really part of it, L'Chatchila. Then the Mechaber continues and he writes, Ritzuos, bein me'or, bein min klaf, ksheros. One is able to make the ritzuos either out of the hide of the animal itself or even from the part of the hide known as klaf. That is also perfectly good. The Bir Halacha does point out that if you use this cloth and you would plan to use it to make into a parchment, that already is questionable if you can lower its Kedusha and use it for a Ritzua. It brings us down to the name of the Prima Godim. The Bir Halacha as well adds that it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it's Ma'akev, Afilu B'Dieved, it's no good, based upon a Rambam, if it is not black. And that indeed is what the Mechaber says in the next words, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, Shu HaRitzuos Shechoros, the Ritzuos have to be black, Mibachotz, on their external face, the part that's facing outside. In Sivkotin Chof, the Mishnah Brewer writes, Litzad HaSeyar, Shu Moko Mecholuk, this is on the external part, which is towards the skin side, which has hair on it, which is normally smooth. And he says it doesn't help you if you've blackened it on the other side, on the inner aspect. You have to go and then blacken it on the outside. And he tells you, look in the Bir Halacha for more information about this. In the Bir Halacha, he writes that the Ritzuos have to be black. This is both for the Shorosh and for the Shoyad. He questions if this Halacha L'Moshe Misinai applies even beyond the shear and extends to the entire width of the strap, the entire length of the strap. Or is it only that part that is ma'akev in terms of the shear? And the reason why we blacken the whole thing is only l'noi bi'alma. Let's see more inside in Sivkot and Yutes. We're going backwards here in the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura writes it has to be black. He says, look in the Baruch Sha'amar, the mashma min dvarav, the mitzvah la'shchirin ach yu shchoros k'orev. How black should you make it? You should make it very black. Many have the custom that they'll paint it black and then let it dry, paint it black, let it dry, paint it back and let it dry. So it really is black like a raven's black. Vida, the Mnisyashnu. However, if it became older and somewhat worn out, so it's not so black, Mnismayach Mehina Shachrus, and some of the blackness has gone out from it somewhat, Sarich Lashkir Mechadish. He says you have to re-blacken it again. When one does re-blacken the tefillin, they take the appropriate kosher dye, as we pointed out, it has to be Minamuto Leficha, and you have to say L'Shem Kedusha's tefillin before you blacken it, you should ideally verbalize it. As we pointed out already, in Simon Lamed Bey's Sif Lamed Tes. We pointed out over there the same idea with if you lost the squareness, you have to go and re-square it as well. And you can do this by adding on a little bit of black. If it's got a little bit circular in the corner, you can add on enough black ink over here, black paint to it, that it would be now square again. Same thing over here. You have to do this l'shma. And he says, every halach l'moshe misinai, tzrichin ha-tzvilin lamod b'shachrusim kol shah. For all the things that are halach l'moshe misinai, it has to be that way all the time, not just initially. The Mishnah Brura then points out, b'makom hiduk, in the places where you have hiduk ha-kesher, where the knot is made, especially there it's prone to losing its blackness, motzi ma'od lehismayach, and very easily because of the twisting and the movement over there of the knot, it easily can lose its blackness, it gets dull over there, or even the black could come off. And therefore, yesh li zar b'zem od, one should be very careful in those areas. Dirshu footnote 14 brings down, midvarav, from the words of the Mishnah Brura, it appears, mukach shel inyan shachris haritzuos lo moil din rubo kikulo. You can learn from here that we can't say the majority is good enough. If most of it is black, it's good. El tzor shiel kulo shachar, it has to be entirely black. And he brings this down to the Bir Halach as well, as I pointed out before, shein moil din rubo kikulo b'ritzuos. It doesn't apply by the ritzuos to say, well, the majority of the ritzuos are black, that's good enough. And this is also the opinion of Shlomo Zalman. He says, Shem nivklach haseva, if it peeled off some of the blackness, afil bimiyuto, even a little bit, possible, it's no good. However, this is as opposed to the opinion of Shelus Tshuva Salmas Chaim, who writes, b'di'eved, after the fact, mo'il b'ofen zem, yidin rubo kikulo, you can't rely upon rubo kikulo after the fact. Dirshu footnote 14 continues, and he writes, Masha motzui sheberabos hazman doek tzas shachrirus atzeva. Over time, some of the darkness of the tefillin will go away. Or shenasebo ke'ein nekudos ustokim levonim. Or sometimes little white spots or little cracks will appear. Af ofen klali near a shachar. If one takes a cursory glance at this, he'll still say that the tefillin are black. Nevertheless, Shlomo Zalman says over here, b'dieved will be kosher, but certainly one should try to correct it. And the Tshuvas HaNahagos from Sternbach Zatzali brings down the name of the stipler that he was very makbid to make sure that the ritzuos were always black, and many people are careful to look at their ritzuos and blacken them as necessary. Of course, every time you do that, it has to be with kosher ink, and it has to be that you say before you do that, l'shem mitzvahs tefillin. Then the Mechaber continues, Avo mitzad pinim, on the inner aspect of the ritzua, yasem yezet sefer shiir tzuchutz miadom. You can make it any color you want, with the one exception, it can't be red. Why not red? Shema yomru shemidam chatatov nitzbu v'hadimu. The people shouldn't say, oh, this guy has a lot of pimples, he has a lot of little cuts over there, and that's why the inside of his tefillin are red. It's from the blood of his skin. And therefore, that's not annoying, that's not nice, and therefore, Any color but red is fine on the inside. The minhag is not to color it, however, and Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Chof Aleph writes, Rotz Lomar, Im Yirtzeh Litzbo Oson, if you wish to, you could color it black or any other color you want. Avalein Mechuyiv Litzavim B'Shum Tzeva, you certainly don't have to color it with anything. And he says, Af La Rambam, the Rambam holds Sorech HaShchiron Gam Mibifnim, the Rambam happens to hold that you should even go and color them from the inside. Masha, Kemosha, Batim Hen Shchoron, just like the boxes have to be black, so too he holds the entire Ritzvah inside and outside should be black. Ein anu noagim karambam zeh. We don't follow the Rambam in this situation, as is brought down in the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe, where it's specifically written, Ein noagim kein. Our minhag is not to do this. The issue footnote 15, it points out that even the Rambam holds it's not halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The only reason you're blackening the inside is because of the din of noy tefillin to make it beautiful. And this gives us the explanation that I saw in the name of the Brisker Rav from Eretz Yisrael, why we don't, when we aren't nizar, to go and follow this opinion of the Rambam. People are nizar in every Rambam. Why not over here? The Rambam says you should blacken the inside. Others don't seem to say it's wrong, so why not follow the Rambam? So it's brought down the name of the Brisker Rav, the following idea. He says that all of the poskim don't mention over here to do the blackening on the inside. So obviously they felt there was some concern over here. What's that concern? He says they must have felt that it's a hefsek, since it's not necessary to put it there. So anything that goes there, even black ink, is considered a hefsek between the arm and the head and the tefillin, and therefore the minhag is not to go and blacken it. The Ben Ishchai brings down that various mekubalim have hidden reasons why they blackened it, but his opinion is not to blacken it as well. And the Brisker Rav brought down another reason. He says that since the only reason the Rambam says to do this is because of the noy, beautification of the tefillin, this is the inside aspect of the strap and nobody sees that, and therefore because of the reason of the hefsek potential concern and the fact that the poskim say don't do this, so therefore the minhag is not to go blacken the inside of the tefillin straps. That concludes today's shiur.